Chariot Emerging Tech Cast, episode number 75, an interview with Rod Johnson. Part 2, Rod's views on the Scala language. The TechCast is brought to you by Chariot's Education Services. We provide training and mentoring in Scala using TypeSafe's Fast Track to Scala course, and we'll be offering the Advanced Scala course very soon. We also provide training in Spring and related technologies, as well as Maven, Nexus, Tomcat, TC Server, and more. Looking for private training or customizations to courseware? No problem. Contact us at chariotsolutions.com/education and send us your request. For a limited time, save 10% off of your next training course by using the offer code TechCast13. This week, we have a special treat for TechCast listeners, especially those who love either Spring or Scala. Our guest for this two-part interview this week is Rod Johnson, who we interviewed over Skype from Australia. In the second of two episodes, we talked to Rod about the Scala language and community. Rod recently moved over to TypeSafe, a company created to foster development of Scala and enterprise APIs, as an advisor on their board of directors. We ask him what he thinks about the language itself, why he uses it, and in what ways the community can grow in the future. If you're more of a Spring Framework developer and want to hear Rod talk about how he created the framework and built a Java API empire based on it, have a listen to part one. For full disclosure, Chariot is both a TypeSafe and a SpringSource VMware partner. Enjoy the podcast. You know, if I look at kind of the arc of where Spring went and what you've been doing with Spring, you know, about kind of simplifying and helping a developer focus on the things that matter, you know, writing the true business logic and any kind of, you know, persistent stuff that really, you know, gets them paid, essentially. You're looking now at, I guess, TypeSafe, which primarily is Scala and Scala-based frameworks. So why Scala?
There's a number of reasons. I think that certainly in terms of my own coding, I'm presently doing a hobby project and I'm writing purely in Scala. I mean, given the choice between Java and Scala, I would absolutely write in Scala. So okay, the first driver is the fact that I think Scala is a fantastic language. The second is that I know and like a lot of the people at TypeSafe. So for example, I really respect both Martin and Jonas, and Mark Brewer, the recently appointed CEO, worked with me at SpringSource for several years. So, you know, I've good friends with Mark, and I've got a lot of respect for his business skills.
So you're enjoying working with Scala. You're working with it on your personal project. Do you think it's a language that is ready for the mainstream, or that mainstream Java developers will be able to use?
You know, that is something, to be honest, I go to and fro on. Okay, let's say in my situation where I'm doing a hobby project that potentially might end up being something I want to hire people for, but probably not. But let's suppose it did. I would probably want to hire a team of 5 or 10 people, and I would only want to hire good people, and I would be absolutely confident that that kind of team is going to be more productive in Scala than they would be in Java. On the other hand, if I had to run a team of 200 mediocre people, I think I would get a bit scared about using Scala. But there is also the point in response to that, that if you've got 200 mediocre people, you're going to find some way to fail. It doesn't matter whether it's going to be the language. You know, you simply cannot deliver good software by using large numbers of less skilled people. So, you know, broadly speaking, I'm a big fan of small teams of highly skilled people. And I think Scala is very well suited to that. Take, for example, Spring. You look at the total number of people who have written large parts of Spring, it's very, very small. And yet that is, you know, something that delivers a lot of functionality. So my preferred model of the world is that you work with a small team of really good people. And I think if you do that, you can reasonably expect that those people will be able to master Scala.
So one of the things you said was you were confident that you were more productive working in Scala. What do you think it is about Scala that you're more productive using that language?
You know, the biggest thing that I love about Scala is that it's far more concise than Java. It's not something that people tend to cite that much. Like if you ask people what's good about Scala, they'll probably start talking about functions. And, you know, it's sure, it's good to have functions. But the thing that really blows me away is that I can easily write the same amount of code in Scala in maybe 40% of the number of lines of that code in Java. And I find that that actually is beneficial, not merely in terms of writing the code initially, but in terms of maintenance. Because, you know, when you've got only 40% of the code, you can, you know, quickly read through that code because you're simply processing less redundant characters. So that to me is a fantastic feature of Scala. I'm a big fan of Scala traits. I find that they pretty significantly increase code reuse versus Java. And also I think if you look at using functions, you can definitely make quite a lot of things, again, more concise and more readable and elegant.
Okay. Now, I've been talking a lot. You know Jamie Allen, obviously, from the U.S. office. You know, he was one of us. And so we used to have debates about different languages. And one of the things that he brought up at one point was there seemed to be, at least for a period of time, and I'm not sure if it still is, some movement towards having less framework involvement in a Scala application than in a Java application. Maybe because Scala is so useful in a higher order way that you need less of these libraries and frameworks.
Oh, there is absolutely that sentiment in the Scala community. And I personally think it's pretty misguided. So, I mean, essentially that argument is saying, you know what, I've got a BMW instead of a Chevrolet, so I can get where I want to go faster. So that gives me time to build my own road. It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, if you have productivity benefits in a language, you want to be applying those productivity benefits to solving your problem domain, not solving generic problems. I actually think this is something that the Scala community is frankly going to have to grow out of, because there is a tendency to reinvent the wheel. For example, in my project, I've been using for part of it a relational database, and I am currently using JPA with Hibernate in Scala. And the interesting thing is I've looked at every OR mapping and persistence solution out there in Scala, and I have to say they're all incredibly immature. And while some of them do some elegant stuff in the language, the fact is that they're just incredibly naive in terms of how they handle the persistent stuff that Hibernate and TopLink and or Eclipse Link and OpenJPA solved many years ago. So I think it's a complete fallacy to assume that the problem in writing frameworks is about the language. The value that frameworks provide is about how they interact with different kinds of services. So, for example, if you look at an OR mapping framework, it's not really so much about the programming model. It's about how you're efficiently and reliably going to deal with the different databases that you want to access. And I am hopeful that the Scala community is going to eventually get this, because I think there's, frankly, a hell of a lot of wasted effort. You know, if you look at the persistence space in Scala right now, it's all about how can we build our own stack that ignores anything that the Java community spent 15 years learning about relational persistence, rather than, for example, how could we make JPA utterly awesome in Scala? It wouldn't be that difficult to make JPA far nicer to use in Scala than in Java, but there seems to be absolutely zero interest in that. This actually brings me to another thing about the Scala community that I think will change over time. The Scala community right now tends to be a bit less welcoming, I think, than the Spring community. So if someone goes and asks a question on, say, using Scala with JPA, they will have a fairly high probability of being flamed by people who tell them, oh, you don't want to use OR mapping. OR mapping's terrible. That's one of the delusions that Java people had. And, you know, I think that that kind of tendency towards being very opinionated, not that pragmatic, I think we'll see that change over time. Yeah, I mean, certainly the framework problems that exist in Scala are somewhat different than those that exist in Java. So, for example, the template pattern in Spring can be applied far more elegantly using functions. Though, actually, you can consume things like Spring JDBC if you want very nicely, using a simple implicit to get from the inner classes to functions. But, you know, that's an example of something that that problem that existed in Java doesn't really exist in the Scala language. But there are still many other things, like, for example, how you're going to do transaction management, how you're going to access relational or other data. There are many other things where the problem is not really in the language. The problem is how you work with a bunch of really nasty third-party stuff.
TypeSafe has a stack. They've got some APIs, things like Akka and Play. Where do you see adoption of those, and does it make sense? For example, you know, Akka has like the, you know, the Actor framework, and they've got the, you know, software transactional memory and all that kind of stuff. Do you see that playing a relatively niche role or a role in a lot of different applications?
Well, I think actor-based concurrency is going to become more and more important. I mean, if you look at the ways in which processes are developing, it is really important to be able to do things in parallel. And, you know, in reality, concurrent use of shared resources with locking is very bug prone. So I think actor-based concurrency is going to grow, and I would expect it to become mainstream, because I think it really is a very powerful way of solving problems that are becoming more and more important.
And so, you know, right now, I guess, you know, things like Tomcat and other web application servers are using threads and various techniques behind that. Is there a movement out there to try to build like actor-based processing? And maybe this is a completely the wrong metaphor, but, you know, handling the engine processing using actors instead of using threads.
I personally haven't looked that much at the web space in Scala, so I can't comment that much on that. I think certainly it's something that would make sense. I actually, though, frankly wonder if the future of the web tier isn't going to be, you know, more heavily JavaScript-centric than in languages like Java or Scala.
Yeah, that's, we're seeing the same kind of movement, you know, people looking at, you know, different JavaScript MVC frameworks all of a sudden and using, you know, the back end tier essentially for that as a RESTful store and that kind of thing.
The reality is that most of the web solutions that have come out of the JVM or have come out of, you know, any kind of middleware runtime have been pretty clunky. And I think that doing more on the client with JavaScript is probably the future.
So there's a lot of languages out there that are cropping up on the Java VM. So like Scala, like Clojure, you know, Groovy. So what's unique about Scala, or what makes it better than these other languages that are out there?
I think the thing that really stands out to me with Scala is how elegant it is and how it all fits together. If you look, for example, at, say, Groovy, Groovy feels to me like a set of features, you know, that can be useful, but aren't necessarily that well integrated. Whereas in Scala, it's, I think, really elegantly thought out. If you look, for example, at how things like implicits and the flexibility of the language syntax enable you to create DSLs in a strongly typed language. You know, there's just so many places in Scala where I really have to admire Martin's vision and realize that he's really thought this through very, very well. I also, frankly, like the fact that Scala is strongly typed. I'm a pretty big fan of strongly typed languages. And I think with Scala, it is truly impressive that it's a strongly typed language that is brilliant for creating DSLs And secondly, is astonishingly concise. Because, you know, obviously you can do anything you want in a dynamically typed language. So, you know, you can do any kind of magic you like. But when you've done that, you actually have zero tool support. You discover that building the tool support for it is probably harder than writing your DSL. Whereas in Scala, even though the tool support, I'm sure, will improve a lot, the reality is right now, if you build yourself a DSL, you get pretty damn good tool support with zero effort. And to me, that's, you know, an example of one of the benefits that you get from the fact that Scala is strongly typed. I think also Scala's interoperability with Java is excellent. And I think that is something that does give it a benefit versus things like, say, JRuby, where it's a little bit more difficult.
I see there's a bit of a challenge, I guess, in converting people. I shouldn't say converting, but getting people on the Scala train sometimes. And I think that some of the syntax might scare people. Sometimes concise can sound like I can write this all in one line of Perl. What do you say to those people who feel that Scala might be too complex for developers?
Well, firstly, one of the great advantages of Scala is that it runs on the JVM. So, you know, I think actually the right way to approach this, if let's suppose I'm trying to persuade you, I wouldn't start off by saying use Scala, it's fantastic, Java totally sucks. Firstly, I don't think that's true because I think Java is actually still a pretty good language. But secondly, if you make it this opposition of, oh, Scala good, Java bad,
right,
you're forcing people to imagine they're taking a big leap, whereas in fact they're not. There are a number of ways that people can try to see whether they like Scala. For example, Scala has some really nice test frameworks that are more elegant than JUnit. So, you know, one possibility is why not try to write some of your test suite in Scala and keep your production code in Java for now. Secondly, why not, you know, break your project up into modules and write a particular module in Scala. So I think one of the things that is really important with Scala is that you can embrace it gradually. I mean, this was something we always used to say with Spring. We'd say, look, you know what? I know it can be scary to embrace a whole new framework that has very ambitious goals like Spring. Why don't you try, say, Spring JDBC or try Spring for transaction management? You know, get a feel for the quality of Spring and whether or not it delivers you benefit, and then actually see whether maybe you want to try some more. So I think a gradual approach is important. Another thing that I think is pretty important is to use coding standards when you work in Scala. So, you know, Scala is fundamentally a language like C++ rather than a language like Java. What I mean by that is it's relatively hard to write unreadable Java. If you take the code of good Java programmers, yeah, I think they generally can read it pretty well because it's not a very flexible language. Whereas in Scala, there certainly are things that you can do that will make your code fairly baffling. So, you know, I think one thing that's quite important for folks adopting Scala from a Java background is to be really clear on what features they're going to use and what they're not going to use. It's important with anything to avoid the feeling that because you've got a hammer, everything's a nail. So, I mean, one thing that used to baffle me is I'd occasionally encounter people who'd complain about Spring because apparently some colleague on their team had decided that, you know, the new operator doesn't exist in Java anymore.
Right. Seen lots of that code before, yeah.
I'd say, well, yeah, we never told you to do that. Container didn't mean that you couldn't create your own objects anymore. So, for example, just because you can do pretty much anything you can possibly imagine on one line of code in Scala with, you know, 20 collection, map, and flatten statements doesn't mean that you should do it. And, you know, I think there there is still a little bit of a feeling in the Scala, some amongst the Scala community, that, you know, to prove that you're a real programmer, you've got to write code that's, you know, somewhat unreadable. Another thing, frankly, that I would be wary of if I were introducing Scala into a team of Java programmers is using symbols instead of names. It's, you know, just because you can use symbols, even ones that you don't have a key on your keyboard for in Scala, doesn't mean that you should do it all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very elegant if you're creating a mathematically oriented library. Being able to use mathematical symbols is, you know, clear and concise and elegant. But, you know, if you are building a library and you choose to use loads of symbols that people have got to look up on a cheat sheet, you know, that possibly isn't that smart. Have you actually seen the dispatch library in Scala?
No.
I think a wrapper over Apache HTTP client. There actually exist cheat sheets for it on the web that you which of the various symbols, what they actually mean. Yeah, I think that to me is an example of something that you shouldn't do. But, you know, I don't think these things are really valid criticisms of Scala. Yeah, I mean, I think that the fact that you get more power and expressivity than you do in Java is a good thing. And it just means that, you know, you need to think a little bit about what you're going to do and what you're going to choose not to do.
And so you're advising TypeSafe. What's your role there exactly?
I'm a board member at TypeSafe. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's more on the strategic side that I contribute to discussions around their technical and business strategy.
And are you looking to kind of get the word out on some of these things somewhere, or are you leaving that up to others to do? Because, I mean, I think that you've got a lot of really good information for the people getting involved in Scala, and I'm curious if you're planning on writing anything or, you know, starting to kind of beat the drum about you know, better community involvement and things like that.
That's actually, well, I mean, certainly, you know, I've had some of these discussions with folk inside TypeSafe. Realistically, the people inside TypeSafe are actually pretty pragmatic people. So, you know, I think that they are actually very keen to be welcoming to the Java community. Because, for example, if you look at the TypeSafe stack, you can use Akka in Java. And, you know, actor-based concurrency is a really important potential benefit for Java developers as well. So, you know, I certainly have the feeling that the TypeSafe guys are not anti-Java. With respect to writing something, you know, I'm probably about 4 months in now to fairly serious amounts of time spent writing Scala. Maybe when I've spent another few months, I'll feel, you know, confident enough that I'll really feel that I have something worth sharing in terms of my views on how Java programmers can embrace Scala.
All right. Well, listen, Rod Johnson, thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Great to talk to you guys.
Thanks to Rod Johnson for coming on to the podcast. And a special thanks to Jamie Allen and Sushila Sahe for making it happen. We'll be featuring Rod's thoughts on Scala as he leaves VMware and joins TypeSafe as a board member in episode 75. For more TechCasts, screencasts from just about all of our emerging technologies for the Enterprise 2012 conference, and more, visit the Chariot Emerging Tech website at emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. And for information about our consulting, training, and mentoring services, visit us online at chariotsolutions.com. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.